This is Dr. Jonathan Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crown Ministries Podcast today. We hope that this message transforms you and encourages you to pursue God's presence in a greater way. Enjoy the message. Well, it's time to go into the Word of God. I'm ready to minister to you. We have all month long have been ministering on some very tough topics. We've been dealing with some roots. We've been handling some heavy lifting issues. But I believe that many of you have experienced breakthrough. And I believe that God is answering you. And he's speaking to you directly concerning the things that concern you. Let's go a little bit deeper. Because this Sunday, the final Sunday of the month of August, I want to really give you a word of the Lord that's going to really knock it out of the box. That's going to really share with you and express to you what God is saying in this season and in this hour. All right, so let's go to the Word of God. Get your Bibles, paper Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want you to get the Word of God, and we're going to share with you what the Lord is saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 4:7 is where we'll begin our lesson today. Now, I don't have my chair, so who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how it's going to go and unfold today? But we'll see what the Lord is saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, here's what it says. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The word of the Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, verse number 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I want to deal with that for a moment, verse 7. Treasure in earthen vessels. Treasure in earthen vessels. I want to draw a parallel conclusion to this dichotomy of treasure in earthen vessels. Treasure in earthen vessels. And today, this morning, I want to minister to you from a subject, conquering conflict. Conquering conflict. It's going to be a good one today. We're going to pray that the Lord speak to you and minister to you about dealing with the conflict of earthen vessels and treasure. Join me in prayer, would you? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, and your kindness towards us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for including us in this day. And now, God, I pray that you begin to move by your spirit and express your heart and your mind and your thoughts to your people and cause them to know what is your will concerning them. I pray now, God, that you would speak to the treasure that's inside of the earthen vessel. And I pray that great riches and great wealth and value would come after this message. We declare and decree that we'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Here in the book of Corinthians, the writer, the author, Apostle Paul, is writing to the Corinthian church who has just been converted. They have just been won over. They just got saved. They brand new. They babes in Christ. They're accustomed to exuberance of expression. They're accustomed to gifts, talents, abilities. They're accustomed to a great, great theater or theatrical presentation. Corinthian church is a very gifted church, but they're babes in Christ. So Paul thought it befitting, and I agree with him, to write them this letter about this thing called salvation that they have just obtained, this miracle work of salvation. You know, it's important that as believers that we understand that when we get saved, we still must be taught and trained about this thing that we have called salvation. If you ask the average Christian what salvation is, most of them probably couldn't even tell you what that is, because we spend more time preaching to the saints and teaching the sinners. When we really should operate in the opposite, we should be preaching to the sinner so we can reach them and teaching the saints so we can disciple them. And here's what Paul is doing. He's teaching these babes in Christ and preaching to them and teaching them and expressing to them that this great miracle called salvation that they have is similar or parallel to the creation story. How God in the beginning caused the sunlight to shine throughout the earth, and he called the big light sun, and he called the small light moon and night. And God created this new thing. And Paul is using that experience, and he's using that notation from Moses writing it in the book of Genesis and saying what God has done is he has shined the light of Jesus Christ inside of you. My God, I think that's powerful right there to already know that salvation is like creation. That's what the Bible says. If a man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature or new creation. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. And so Paul is saying the light of Jesus now shines within you. The light of God's glorious sun shines on the inside of. In you is the glorious light of God. My God, I want to tell somebody that you ought to let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We used to sing this song years ago in Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. How is your light shining today? Can you cause your light to shine even in a pandemic, even when our world is in disarray and everything is discombobulated? Is your light still shining, or have your light gone dim because things are not going your way? Has your light gone dim because things are not moving the way you want them to move? What has happened to your light, the glorious light, the glory light of Jesus, shining inside of your heart and your soul, causing you to illuminate, come on here, in the middle of darkness? Light has no significance around light. Light only has significance around darkness. And I'm going to mess up with some of you right now, but I want to help you to understand that your light has its best significance and its best impact when it's around darkness, when it's around sinners. This is why I don't understand why saints can't deal with sinners. It's amazing how Jesus was always around sinners. Matter of fact, it was the church who didn't like Jesus. It was the religious community who didn't embrace Jesus. It was the sinners who embraced him because his light was significant in their darkness. Your light is significant in the dark parts of the world, not in the light part of the world. And it's amazing when you begin to understand and comprehend, you're at your best, watch this, in your gifts. You're at your best in your anointing when you are around problems. You're a problem solver. I dare somebody to declare that over your life right now. I'm a problem solver. I've been anointed to solve problems. Now, you're not the savior. You're just a problem solver. You got to understand that all power has not been given unto you, but there is some power given to you, and that power that's been given to you, you have been assigned to be a problem solver for somebody. So you got to let your light shine, the glory light. Oh, God, I feel that right there. I wish somebody would just pull on the glory light. Pull on your glory light. The glory light that God has shining on the inside of you. It has significance. It is powerful. It is impactful. It is the thing about you that makes you different from everybody else. The glory light of God. Hallelujah. It's the glory light of God. I got on my shirt, my ISEEK shirt, and I got on my cross around my neck, and all of these things are good. And some of you carry Bibles, and you got the Bible app on your cell phone and your mobile device, and all that stuff is great. But you know what was even greater significant than all of these artifacts and things is the glory light that shines. There used to be a time when we go to church, we could tell who was saved, because they had the glory light shooting out of their face. They didn't have to wear crosses and t-shirts to say that they were saved and they were the part of the body of Christ. The glory light would shine. God, I wish I could talk about the glory light. The glory light of Jesus shine in their hearts, shine through their life. We can tell when you're at work, when you're in the shopping center. We can tell when you're walking through the streets. We can tell right here on virtual, online worship, who's got the glory light. Hallelujah. It's not about the cross that you wear around your neck. It's about the love of Christ that shines through you on a consistent basis. This is what Paul is teaching this babe in Christ church, this Corinthian church. And when he gets down to verse number 7, he says something very significant. He considers the glory light of God that shines in us as a treasure. Okay? And then he says that we have, verse 7, this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay, All right, I need you to understand that the glorious light of God, the glorious light of Jesus, is inside of earthen vessels. Something holy lives inside of something human. Something treasurable is inside something that's trashy. My God. Something eternal lives inside something that is temporal. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I want to express to you that herein lies conflict. And I want to share with you, while this month I talked about anxiety, and I talked about addiction, and I talked about depression, I want to share with you that all of those things come about because it reveals the warfare and the battle that's inside of the same individual who's got treasure on the inside. I'm not the preacher to only tell you that you are anxious and you are addicted and you're depressed, but I'm also the preacher that will tell you that with all of that mixed up in there are some treasures. I don't want you leaving here thinking that you're damaged goods. No, 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 no. I want you to know that there is treasure on the inside of you, God. When you were born in your mother's womb, God put treasure. He put treasure on the inside of you. Before you came about and came into being, he put treasures on the inside. I need somebody to declare this and prophesy this over your life. I got treasures within me. I got treasures. I got treasures. That treasure is the glory light of God. That's the miraculous of God. That's the handiwork of God. That is the anointing of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. But herein lies a war. Paul said, there is a war in my members that when I would to do good, evil is always present. Because of the conflict, the conflict, the conflict. The conflict is one part of me fights the other part of me. The earthen vessel fights the treasure, and the treasure's trying to win over the earthen vessel. So you can have somebody that's highly anointed, but also deal with depression. You can have somebody that's powerfully used of God, but still battle with addiction. Come on, come on, come on. You have an individual who can cast out demons, but yet deal with anxieties themselves. And some of you almost live in a schizophrenia because at one moment you're calling down fire from heaven, but then the next moment you're sitting under a juniper tree ready to commit suicide, like Elijah. Come on. And there is this war and this conflict, almost like this arm wrestle that's going on between you and you. And today I want to teach you how to conquer the conflict. Are you ready? Are you ready to conquer your conflict? Are you ready to conquer this war and this battle, this treasure and this earthen vessel? See, the treasure is incorruptible, but the earthen vessel is corruptible. It's damaged. It's cracked. It's jacked up. It got issues and isms and prejudices and all kinds of stuff that's going on with this earthen vessel. It got schemes and scams going. This earthen vessel, my God, help us. But then this treasure that's inside of this earthen vessel. It's like, so you can understand it. It's like going to, hallelujah, a famous steakhouse and ordering, oh God, a nice porterhouse steak that's worth and valued at $95 to $100 for the steak. And then you put it on a Dixie paper plate. Treasure sitting on an earthen vessel. God help me here. Help me here. It's like having something so valuable, like a precious pearl. A pearl that's limited edition, and then take the pearl and wrap it up in a sandwich bag. God help us. It's treasure in earthen vessel. And that's who we are. We're jacked up and messed up. And if we look at ourselves, we would disqualify ourselves from ever being used of God. But what God does is he takes something valuable and put it inside of something that seemingly has no value. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he trusts us. That's how much he has determined to use us. That he would take something so precious, so valuable, so eternal, so incorruptible, and put it inside of something that don't know how to listen and be obedient, and that's often rebellious. Come on, come on, come on. He puts it inside of things that don't do right even when you tell them to do right. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we have a conflict. We have a conflict. We have a conflict. We have a conflict. One nature of me is fighting against the other nature of me. And we've got to figure this thing out. Well, I thought that if we was going to conquer conflict and conquer this particular conflict, that we need to learn conflict resolution skills. Lord help us. Many of you are in trouble right now with other people and with other systems, and you are even at war with yourself because you have never acquired conflict resolution skills. I want to know, is there anybody that's often in debates and fights and arguments, and you're often in this Royal Rumble and this battle with other people about thought, opinion, or psychology, or theory, or anything like that? You need to discover conflict resolution skills, right? Let's deal with this right quickly so we can get through this. There are six skill sets that you need to possess to have great conflict resolution skills. Let's break this down into individual resolution skills. So first skill you need to have is the skill of communication. The skill of communication. The skill of communication is to convey information until the other party you're conveying it to hears it and understands it. That's communication. Effective communication is when you convey information to a party that hears it and comprehends it. If they don't understand it, you haven't communicated. That's why some of you fussing and mad right now, because you say things to a person 3 or 4 times and you wonder why you got to repeat yourself, because repetition is the key to education. And you only repeat it because you want to ensure that they comprehend what you just said. And in the only way that they comprehend it, sometimes you got to allow them to repeat it. They got to convey it back to you. But effective communication, it's when you said it, they heard it and understood it. Y'all know what I said. I'm going to say it right here again. Crown Ministries, come on. The lack of communication is the cancer of all relationships. If you cannot communicate, you can never resolve conflict. Some of you don't do well in communication because instead of communicating, you get angry. You get frustrated. Your temper gets the best at you. Your emotions get the best of you, and you never convey thought. You never convey what's going on in your head, so you never communicate it. But communication is the first skill set for conflict resolution. The second skill set for conflict resolution is emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence. If you're going to resolve conflict, you need to have emotional intelligence, because you're going to need to put your feelings to the side. Lord help us, Lord help us, Lord help us. Some of you will never come to resolve until you learn to put your emotions to the side. Your feelings get the best of you. Oh God, emotional intelligence does not mean you ignore what you feel. It means you acknowledge what you feel, but you refuse, watch this, to react based upon how you feel. Emotional intelligence says, I'm mad at you, but I'm not going to behave because I have enough intelligence in my emotions to know how to behave myself wisely and in a perfect way. You need emotional intelligence. And the reason why you need emotional intelligence, because if you're going to have conflict resolution skills, you're going to need to be able to compromise. Compromise. Lord help us. Number three, conflict resolution skill set you need to have is stress management. Stress management. How fast, how quick can you control your temper? Stress management. To manage your stress. To manage your hyperactivity. To manage your worry. God help us. You need that. Number five, you need to have, in order to resolve conflict, you need to have, empathy. Empathy, to be empathetic, to feel what others are feeling. Yeah, to feel it, to be empathetic. If you're going to resolve conflict, you need to hear me. You need to know what I'm feeling when I said what I said. Are you understanding? Okay? Another skill set needed for conflict resolution is impartiality. You got to be neutral. You got to be neutral. Oh, God. The reason why some folks can't resolve conflict is because you always want to have it your way. You can't always have it your way. You can't always have it your way. Can't always have it your way. Last skill set you need in order for conflict resolution, the last skill set you need is the skill set of negotiation. You need to be able to negotiate. You got to be able to talk it through. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to compromise and give a little, take a little. That's negotiation. That's everybody leaving from the table happy and mad at the same time. That's negotiation. These are conflict resolution skill sets that we all need to have. Now, when we start applying this to our life with the war that's going on in our members, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, watch this. We begin to see how God desires to use us. But because we don't know how to win the war against ourselves, we can never be fulfilled and satisfied in the God assignment. I'm here to tell somebody today, you've got to win the war against you. It's not the people on the outside. No. It's not them. That's small stuff. It's not the external. That's little things. It is the war within you that you've got to learn to win. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, it's time to win the war. It's time to win the war. And so when we look at the text and see what Paul says about the treasure we have in earthen vessels, he says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, which means when we demonstrate something powerfully, when we are effective at anything, the power is not the vessel. The power is the excellency of God, or the treasure that's on the inside of you. See, some of us mess up. They mess up because you think that you have won the battle and the war by your own arm and strength. I'm here to tell you, you've got to learn to say, to God be the glory for the things that he has done. You wouldn't have graduated the school hadn't given you the intelligence to do it. To God be the glory. You wouldn't have got the job if he didn't give you the skills and the ability to do it. To God be the glory. All of the things that you have done in your life, you didn't do it on your own accord. You didn't do it on your own strength. But to God be the glory for the great things that he, who am I preaching to today? To God be the glory. The problem is we've been stealing glory. We've been giving glory to other people and other things. We've been giving glory to other systems. But today we emphatically declare that the excellency is the power of God and not of us. The excellency is God's glory, the glory light that's on the inside. That's how I did it. That's how I graduated school, the glory life. That's how I got the job, the glory life. That's how I can take a lick and keep on ticking. It's the glory life. That's how I can go through all the warfare that I'm going through and still mount and still declare the word of God. It's because the glory, it ain't me. It's the glory life on the inside of me. And I'm trying to tell somebody, you need to become accustomed to saying, to God be the glory. Paul says that the power may be of God and not of us. Then he begins to explain this dichotomy. He begins to articulate this warfare. Listen to what he says. We're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. Human and holy. He says we are persecuted, but not forsaken. Human, holy. Cast down, but not destroyed. Human, holy. Always bearing upon in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. You see the combination of the two. He says that even in this earthen vessel, we got trouble, but we're not in distress. And that's why some of your family members and friends don't understand you. They don't understand your sacrifice. They don't understand because they don't have the glory light. The Bible says earlier in this text, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. Because lost people don't understand glory light. They don't understand why you would give your tithe and your offering and your good money that you work for to a church. They don't understand why you would tithe in a pandemic. You know why? Because you don't understand. They don't understand how you will leave a man that you can't see for a man you cannot see. They don't understand. They don't understand. They don't understand how you stop smoking the weed to calm down and start praying and meditating on God's word to relax and rest. They don't understand it because it's glory life. That's having trouble but not being in distress. That's having people talk about you like a junkyard dog and still got a smile on your face. That's still, come on, getting laid off from the job but still saying hallelujah anyhow. That's, come on, that's human and holy. That's the conflict. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I'm trying to help somebody to reveal the conflict that's been in you, the war that's been in you, the treasure in the trash. The treasure in the trash. The treasure in the trash. I got treasure in this trash. There's no good thing that dwells in this flesh. Ain't nothing good about my flesh, but there's a treasure locked up on the inside. And today, I'm going to wake up my treasure. I'm going to wake up the glory light so God can use me, so God can get the glory out of me. So come on, so I can fulfill purpose and destiny, so I can fulfill the assignment that's been placed on my life before I was formed in my mother's womb. My responsibility is let my light shine, let my light shine. Woo, God. And I want to share with you, I'm going close because I'm getting real excited here. I'm going to share with you 5 ways to conquer conflict. Five ways to conquer conflict. Are y'all ready for it? Get your pen and paper. Let's write it down. Put it in the comments in the chat. 5 ways to conquer conflict. Number one, acknowledge your call. Yeah, acknowledge your call. You may be earthen vessel, but you got to acknowledge God has called me to something bigger than just existing. Many of you have been existing, but you haven't been fulfilling purpose. You've been existing, but you haven't been living life. You've got to acknowledge that you've been called to something. I don't care if it's called to babysitting children, frying chicken. I don't care what it's called to direct the choir, run the soundboard, play the keyboard or the drums. I don't care if it's walking dogs. What have you been assigned or called to? You've got to acknowledge your call. Many of you, the reason why you're conflicting in life right now and having conflict in your life is because you won't acknowledge you've been called to something. You haven't acknowledged that God has assigned you to somewhere in life, to assign you to a people. You won't acknowledge your call. But today, I need somebody to open up your mouth and say, God, I acknowledge the call. I say yes. It's rude for somebody to call your phone and you send it to voicemail. You ignore it. You decline it. God has been calling you and you won't even acknowledge it. God's been calling you and you won't even say yes, Lord. But today, I need somebody to give him another yes. I said, I need you to give him another yes and acknowledge your call. Acknowledge your call. Come on. You're not just some member. You're not just some bystander. You're not called to sit on and ride the bench. You've been called to something. First thing to get rid or to conquer this conflict is acknowledge your call. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Number two, the second way to conquer the conflict is once you've acknowledged your call, then you've got to accept your change. Yeah, accept your change. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. When you are called, watch this, you're going to begin to see that there are some changes and some adjustments that you must make to fulfill the call. The Bible says, do the work of the evangelist. Hallelujah. Accept the change that it takes to be who God called you to be. That means there's some things in your life got to change. Oh, come on. Some appetites got to change. You got to accept it. You can't hang with everybody. You got to accept it. You can't do what everybody else is doing. You got to accept it. Some of you are at war right now and you're in conflict because somehow or another you want to be able to be used of God and do what you want to do at the same time. It don't work. You trying to be used of God and still live your life and be grimy and gutter. Come on. You still trying to be holy and unholy. You trying to club on Saturday and worship on Sunday. It doesn't mix. It doesn't work. You can't mix holy and unholy. You can't mix clean and unclean. You're going to have to accept the change. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to have to accept your change. You're changing. You need to change. You have to change. After you acknowledge your call, you must accept your change. Number three, to conquer the conflict that's on the inside of you, is you're going to have to assess your character. Can I work the ACs? You're going to have to acknowledge your call, accept your change, but then assess, make an assessment of your character. Oh, God. You're going to have to learn to be self-checked. You want to fight this demon that's been fighting you on the inside of you? You're going to have to be self-checked. You're going to have to be able to abide by the conviction of the Holy Ghost and nobody have to call you up and police you and rebuke you. Come on here. You're going to have to get to a place where you rebuke yourself. You're going to have to get to the place where you sit yourself down. You're going to have to get to a place where you shut your own mouth. Come on. Who am I talking to today? Who am I preaching to today? That when you accept the change and begin to adjust and adapt to the call that's on your life, you're going to have to get to the place where your character is assessed by you. My God, if nobody checked me, I'm self-checked, baby. If nobody tell me what I'm supposed to do, I can tell myself because I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And when I don't do it, I check me. Come on, get yourself together. Wipe your face. Come on, get yourself back in your post. Because when the conflict is there, you're going to have to sometimes be able to pull yourself in. You ain't got time to wait for nobody else to pull you in. Ooh, who am I talking to? I'm preaching like I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. I'm preaching better than this quarantine church is saying amen. Come on. Huh? How do we conquer conflict, Dr. Shaw? You're going to have to acknowledge a call. Accept your change. Assess your character. Number four, you're going to have to awaken your courage. Ooh, it takes courage to change. It takes courage to adjust. It takes courage. Oh my God. Some of you wonder, how can he get up there and preach? Isn't he nervous? You're going to have to tell your courage, wake up. We got to preach today. I don't stand in front of people. I don't want to be in the forefront. I just want to be in the background. Even being in the background, it takes courage. It takes courage to say yes to God. It takes courage to be used by God. That's what God told Joshua. Be strong and courageous because I'm going to be with you. You're going to have to wake up courage. I dare somebody lay your right hand on your belly and say, come on, courage, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Awaken your courage. Square back your shoulders. Strengthen your spine and wake up the courage that's on the inside of you and take courage. Take courage and be of strength and of good cheer. And do what he told you to do. You want to resolve this conflict? Be courageous. Be courageous. It takes courage to prophesy. It takes courage to sing. It takes courage to preach. It takes courage to go hug somebody you don't know if they're going to even hug you back. It takes courage to be a blessing to somebody. Come on here. You don't even know if they're going to accept it or appreciate it. And it doesn't even matter. But it takes courage to obey God. Take courage and tell courage, wake up. Woo! Five ways to conquer conflict. Number one, acknowledge your call. Number two, accept your change. Number three, assess your character. Number four, awaken your courage. I'm working the ACs. And the number five, abandon your company. Oh my God, here it is and I'm through. Oh God, in order to really conquer the conflict in you, you're going to have to abandon the company on the outside of you. There are some people, while you acknowledge your call, they won't acknowledge your call. They want you to turn up and you're trying to go fast and pray. They want you to go smoke a joint and you're trying to get in your word. Come on, come on, come on. There are some people you're gonna have to walk away from. For the survival of your assignment, for the survival of the treasure in you, for the precious anointing that God put on the inside of you, if it's going to make it, if it's going to be any value, you're going to have to abandon the people that keep pulling you away from purpose. You're going to have to abandon the people that keep pulling you away from what God has assigned you to do. I know you love him, but you're going to have to abandon him. I know you want to hang out with her, but you're going to have to abandon her. You're going to have to tell them, y'all go to the party, I'm going to prayer. You're going to have to tell them, come on here, you go to the club, but I'm going to get in my word. You're going to have to tell them, I've got to feed my assignment. I've got to feed this treasure. I've got to do what God called me to do, because if I don't, it's going to dry up. And if the treasure dry up, then the trash got to be thrown away. Hey, he put the treasure in the trash so that the treasure can get the glory through the trash. And I'm here to tell you, God said, I want to get the glory out of you, but you got to come out from among them and be separate. Who in your life is pulling you away from your purpose? Anything that does not contribute to your priorities is an unnecessity in your life. If you don't contribute to my purpose, if you don't contribute to the reason why God put me on the earth, then you serve as a distraction. You serve as a satanic plant. Come on here. Who has the devil sent as a disguise that they are a friend, but they're really a foe? Who must you abandon today because their influence being in your ear is causing conflict with the assignment that's on your life? If you're in war with your friend and your future, if you're in war with a person and your purpose, you're experiencing conflict, and the only way to conquer it is to abandon your company. I'm through. Who am I preaching to? Who am I trying to get through today? The Lord says to you emphatically and directly that today you've got to conquer the conflict of the treasure in the trash, the holy in the human, the eternal inside the temporal, the glory light inside of you. You're going to have to conquer the conflict. You have to come to a resolve, and you're going to have to figure this out, because in you there is an arm wrestle with your two natures. You're addicted, you're depressed, your anxiety's levels are on high, but you're going to have to conquer this conflict. You're going to have to win this war and this battle, and the way that it's going to happen is when you say, Lord, I accept my call. I accept the change. I assess my own character. I awaken the courage you put on the inside of me, and I abandon the company that distracts me. That's how you conquer your conflict. Today, I'm talking to you and I'm preaching to you. There's treasure in you. I don't care. I don't care what you did. I don't care what your past looked like. There's treasure in you. I don't care about your mom and your daddy. Don't even matter who your enemies are, there's treasure. As a matter of fact, your enemies are a prophecy of the treasure that's in you. The tougher the fight, the more significant and value is the treasure. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today, there's treasure in you. There's a king, there's a queen in the inside of you. And the Lord wants you today to tap into your treasure. Woo! I need somebody to say it in the comments right now. I'm tapping into my treasures. I'm tapping into my treasures. God wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. And most of all, he wants to use you for his glory. He called you for such a time as this. Tap into your treasure. Tap into your treasure. Stretch your right hand this way. And you're stretching your hand, but I'm reaching for your treasure. And today I pray in the name of Jesus that God will begin to cause the glory light of his son that lives on the inside of you to shine through you. The glory light of Jesus begin to shine through you until other lives are affected, until people are impacted, until you live an effective life, a life that is transformed, a life that is anointed, a life that is purposeful. My prayer is that the glory light shines. Father, do it right now. Do it for that man. Do it for that woman. Cause your glory light to shine like never before. In the name of Jesus, we declare it and we decree that it is done right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, there's somebody listening to me right now. You're not saved. You need this glory light. You're looking for the treasure. You say, hey, Dr. Shaw, I don't know if there's any treasure. Yeah, there's treasure in you, but I need the treasure to wake up through the glory light of Jesus coming upon you. And just like Paul taught this church at Corinth, I want to tell you today, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, that glory light turns on. Today, there's treasure in you. And I want to turn the light of salvation on you. I want you to receive the miracle of salvation. Salvation is a miracle. Woo! It's a miracle that I'm saved. It took a miracle to get me saved. And I want you to accept the miracle of salvation right now. I want you to accept it and receive it. How do you do it? I want you to simply repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me, mold me, make me so that I can be what you want me to be. Say, I'm no longer my own. I belong to you. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. My God, congratulations. That's all it took. That's all it took. The glory light is on now. The treasure has awakened inside of you. Now the conflict that you have to conquer is allowing the glory light, the treasure inside of you, the trash, to now get all of the glory and the credit. That's the excellency of the power of God. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take your cell phone. I want you to text the word saved. Text the word saved to 40691. Text the word saved, S-A-V-E-D, it's right there on the screen, to 40691 so that you can get some information from us. We want to pray with you. We want to talk with you. We want to walk you through this salvation to show you how to use the glory light. I want to show you how to use it, how to use the treasure inside the earthen vessel. It's going to be a powerful walk. It's going to be a powerful life, and I'm glad that you're a part of it. Come on, everybody, let's celebrate those who give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, I would love for you to do two things. One, subscribe to our show so you can receive notification of our most recent messages. Also, if this message has impacted you, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. We'll connect with you next time on Crown Ministries Podcast.